You're listening to Recovery, Healing, Outreach, and Awareness, a podcast about domestic violence, sponsored by Randy's House of Angels. Domestic or intimate partner violence is a complex and silent epidemic that affects millions of people worldwide. To respond to the overwhelming issues associated with domestic violence, Randy's House of Angels has produced a series of podcasts that will bring this epidemic to the forefront of public consciousness and break the silence that often shrouds it. This is Paul Miller, producer of this program, and by creating a dedicated platform, Randy's House of Angels hopes to create a safe space for survivors, advocates, and experts to share their stories, insights, and knowledge. A series of topics will be discussed that can offer vital support and resources to victims and survivors, helping them realize that they are not alone and that there is help available. It can also serve as a catalyst for raising awareness and fostering necessary conversations within families, communities, and institutions to empower individuals, foster empathy, and inspire collective action toward eradicating domestic violence while creating a safer, more compassionate society. We invite you to access the podcast by going to randyshouseofangels.org. Today, we will be defining what resilience means in the context of intimate partner violence and share stories from survivors and victims who have transitioned from being victims of intimate partner violence to victors through resilience. We will explore the challenges survivors faced and how they navigated them on the path to resilience, the role of self-discovery in overcoming trauma, and sharing coping strategies survivors used during and after the experience of intimate partner violence. We will explore the significance of community support, including friends, family, and support groups, in fostering resilience and how victims turn their pain into empowerment and advocacy. Finally, we share the role of professional help, therapy, counseling, tools, and resources to assist survivors and victims in their journey. Joining us today is Sherry Peters, Dr. Ellen Smith, and Nancy J. Chavez. Nancy J. Chavez is the founder and executive director of Randy's House of Angels, focused on providing therapeutic programs to children who are victims of domestic violence. Services include trauma-informed programs, including both individual and group therapies to help traumatized children, as well as a three-day camp to empower children who have experienced domestic violence. Nancy co-authored Stabbed in the Heart, Three Murdered Children, Two Resilient Mothers. Two courageous women share their heartbreaking stories of the murders of their only children. Through the power of their stories, readers understand the impact of the crime, the stages of grief, the struggles they endured on their unique journeys, and the importance of friends and family. The facilitator of today's podcast is Dr. Ellen Smith. Ellen Smith, MD, retired after 30 years of teaching and practicing family medicine in the Harrisburg area. Her undergraduate studies were at Hollins University, and she completed her medical degree at the Penn State University College of Medicine in Hershey, PA. In addition, she completed a family medicine residency at Lancaster General Hospital. Since retiring, she has studied adversity, how a traumatized brain works, and how to bounce back and become more resilient. She is passionate and appreciative of the opportunity to educate thousands of people about these topics. She also volunteers at the Trinity Preschool of Harrisburg, a grant-funded, inner-city, trauma-informed preschool. Finally, she has developed a tool called the Personal Resilience Planner, which takes the above concepts and provides a practical way to look at strengths, trauma responses, resilience, and how to progress in these areas over time.
Hello, Nancy Chavez and Sherry Peters. This is Ellen Smith. I'm so happy that you're here today to talk about from victim to victor. And there's many other ways to look at that. Let me briefly introduce myself and we'll have each of you introduce yourselves. I'm Dr. Ellen Smith. I've been in private practice family medicine for years. And as well as education, I'm so happy to be able to be working in the resilience field at this point in time. Nancy.
Hi, Ellen. Thanks for inviting me here today. I am a victim of domestic violence and also a survivor of my daughter's murder. I also have a wonderful nonprofit, Randy's House of Angels, that works with children that are victims of domestic violence.
And Sherry.
And I'm Sherry Peters. I am a social worker, and I have been passionate about this whole area of trauma and resilience, and I'm glad to be here to have a discussion today.
So when we talk about resilience, that describes a situation where you've been in a tough situation or virtually impossible situation, if you've come out the other direction and have been growing and making a difference. And I'll start with Nancy. You've had a virtually impossible situation and you've come out and opened up Randy's House of Angels and helped countless children and families. Can you talk a little bit about what got you through it and how you're doing now?
So I'm going to work backwards here because the murder of my daughter was very traumatic for me, but I also want to start with being a victim of domestic violence was pretty traumatic for me. Being very young when I was married, I really endured a lot of so many types of abuse, and not just physical abuse, but emotional abuse, financial abuse. I mean, just was ongoing with my ex-husband. But I would tell you that, you know, when you talk about being a victim is one thing and then a survivor another, and then also looking at yourself internally, it wasn't later until my life that I realized that resilience was there all the time. I just didn't recognize it. And certainly being able to utilize my resources and understanding myself, because as a victim of domestic violence, your self-esteem is pulled from you, or you don't have any self-esteem, because that was or is the whole focus of a person that's abusing you, is having full control. So you lose all focus of that. So I did live that, and for many years until I left my abuser and I began to find myself, you know, to love myself. And as part of that, I set goals. And not only having my daughter, as I always said, was my angel, but also my daughter giving me guidance and also perseverance to be able to be the best mentor to her. So, I mean, getting out of the abusive relationship was very traumatic for me. People always say, well, yeah, you're a victim. And I will be honest with you, I didn't recognize that I was a victim and that word until later, when it became pretty popular when I was in my 30s. And so when I look back on that now, yeah, I was a victim of domestic violence. Was I a victor when I left my abuser? I didn't look at myself as being a victor. I just looked at having safety in my life, being at peace with myself, and also protecting my daughter, Randy. And being a single parent, of course, was very challenging for me. And so as a result of that, you know, when you set yourself goals, I think that is probably the most important aspect of my resilience, being able to not only set those goals, but also maintain them and use them as your guidance, putting myself on a budget and sacrificing so many things in your life as part of that budget, being able to look at the future of, you know, being able to manage your money that you do earn, maintaining a job and keeping that job, preparing for yourself. Like, I went to school at night. When I say school, college. And I went to a local college here in central Pennsylvania. I got my associate's degree, but I went at night. Each semester I took a class so I can afford it. And so that gave me the opportunity to look at, okay, so I'll have to work two or three jobs in addition to my main job in order to pay for it. And then, honestly, with that goal set, I was able to complete my education and got my master's after 15 years at night, during the summer, all year round. That was so important to me, and I think that that's where I found my resilience, to say that I could do it, I could focus, and certainly move forward.
That is wonderful. Thank you for that story of your life. I want to just emphasize the issue of small goals. You didn't go from being abused to having a master's degree in one fell swoop. You made a tiny goal. You mentioned a budget, and you've stuck with it. And I'm guessing that on occasion you messed up and you didn't stick with it, but then you got right back on the next minute or the next day, and then you decided you wanted to go to college, and you stepped out to do that. And I think that's so important in terms of resilience and the ability to go. We're going to use the term going from victor victim to victor, but you'll hear some other things as we go forward about how people see themselves and what each of us have had in a journey. I'm going to segue over to Sherry and your thoughts about your journey and the resources that you've used over that period of your journey.
Thanks, Ellen. I think in listening to Nancy's journey, and it's quite a journey, I think the victim language and then coming into feeling safe, sort of like surviving. And so we often hear the word survivor related to going from a victim to a survivor. And I think that language of moving into victor is, as you pointed out, a long process, small goals. This whole idea of resilience is something that in my professional journey along the way first was focused very much on trauma until I realized that the really important piece is building resilience and helping others to build resilience, not only recognizing the trauma or the impact of that trauma, but then moving through, just like Nancy did, to set goals, to try to figure out what is important and go for it. That resilience piece, when I discovered that there's not only, we've talked in the trauma world a lot about adverse childhood experiences or ACEs, that's a common language now that wasn't at first when the study was first done in the 90s, but then discovering through you, Ellen, that there was also this positive childhood experiences, which is all about resilience and bouncing back and not paying the most attention to the impact of the trauma, but really paying the most attention to all of those positive qualities. So I think that's part of my journey as a professional in this field, is learning more about resilience and the importance of giving people hope, because that that hope is what keeps people on that path towards building more resilience.
When I listen to you, Sherry, I also think about that resilience takes a lot of planning. It just doesn't happen overnight. When I say planning for you as an individual, I mean, what do you want to do with your life? Not what someone else wants you to do, but what do you want to do? And that allows you to see the beauty of the resilience. I wrote a book with another victim, another survivor. And I want to talk about those terms in a second, but with another survivor. And we actually, you know, talked about our resilience of how we moved on with our life after the death of our children. But it really gave me a good understanding of resilience is something that it comes natural, you know, and as you become a better person, as you begin to, and I always say that you got to love yourself, you've got to know yourself, and that resiliency, you realize, has always been there. I want to switch over to the terms. Victims, victor, survivor. It's the choice of the person, I believe, what they want to be labeled. And I, in all due respect to anyone out there, yes, I was a victim of domestic violence. I always felt that, you know, being labeled a victim, you know, walk around with this black cloud. I didn't want anyone to know that I was a victim. I didn't want anyone to know that my ex-husband was an abuser. You know, is that secrecy that I kept for so many years. So that word victim is like a black cloud sometimes. So survivor, yes. Being able to come out of a relationship to make that decision, and it, you know, it took me several times, as they always say, it takes at least 9 times to leave a relationship, abusive relationship. It took me several times. And once I did, perhaps I was a victor then, I felt, but I didn't label myself a victor then, that I took that step. But survivor, I believe, in my case, is that, you know, I survived the murder of my daughter in 2003, which was so devastating. And so I will share with you that They labeled my daughter's murder as domestic violence, and that just bothered me so much because I said, no, there was no domestic violence in their relationships between her and her husband. And then I realized that it's through criminal justice, it's labeled when someone is murdered in their home, and it does, in this case, involved her husband, that they labeled it there was domestic violence. And so I thought, you know, I'm not a victim of my daughter's murder. I'm a survivor. I'm still living. I'm a survivor. I'm still speaking out for her. I'm still going to be in the courtroom and always be there to represent and be her voice. So that's where my survivor comes from. Am I a survivor now from moving on with my life and from being a victim and a survivor of my daughter's murder? Yes. Victor, I have a hard time with that because maybe my self-esteem still exists. I don't know. But I'm not patting myself on the back. I just know that I have that ability to move forward. And I've done that through creating this nonprofit in memory of my daughter, Randy, to help children that are victims of domestic violence.
Thank you both.
Did you know that Randy's House of Angels has served over 275 children since 2012? Go to randyshouseofangels.org to learn more about programs offered to children who are victims and or exposed to domestic violence. Programs are offered at no cost to parents and guardians in six central Pennsylvania counties, including Cumberland, Perry, York, Dauphin, Lebanon, and Adams. Contact Nancy Chavez at 717-503-4498 or email randyshouseofangels@gmail.com for more information.
I just want to say Nancy is very humble. She is doing fantastic things and is very humble, and I'm impressed by her and inspired by her. Quick question, what is the name of your book?
Stabbed in the Heart, Two Resilient Mothers.
Wow. Stabbed in the Heart, Two Resilient Mothers.
Our children were stabbed to death. Lynn Shiner, who I wrote the book with, and myself, her two children were stabbed to death, and of course my daughter, Randy.
Hmm. Wow. I've heard the term thriver. And again, Nancy mentioned this, there's no cut and dry, there's no cookie cutters, but survivor may be one place and thriver may be one place. And I think part of the podcast's intention is to help people understand what their experiences are in light of others. We're not proscriptive, we're just giving some ideas. The other thing I like to think about, and Sherry alluded to this, is not spending a huge amount of time in the past in terms of what's happened to us, whether it be abuse or neglect or poverty or whatever. But thinking about that, the way I think about it is that's the rearview mirror. We don't drive by looking at the rearview mirror, but the rearview mirror is a tool for us, a resource for us. It tells us what's in the back. And the same goes for PACEs, positive childhood experiences. But they don't get brought up as much, and that would be things that we don't tend to take a look at. And for me, I had a grandmother who lived two houses away, and I could talk to her about anything and everything. She helped me walk through those little steps of adolescence and all the things that happened to me. And I think it's important that person might be a safe neighbor, it might be a relative, it might be a teacher, it may be a counselor. Perhaps the others of you can comment on who it could be that would be positive in helping people get through, whether it be serious abuse or neglect or just the simple lumps and bumps of adolescence.
Ellen, I think that's a really good point. Paying attention to those people in our lives that are so special that we could go to them at any point and talk about whatever we need to talk about. And so I think it could be anyone. You suggested a number of people that it could be. And I think each of us has to identify in our own lives, who is it that makes us feel good about ourselves? Who is it that is willing to listen? Because that's a skill that not everyone possesses. When you sometimes reach out to someone and hope that they will listen and they end up not listening, that's your clue to move on to find someone who will, thinking about the people that are important to us, really leads me into thinking about, Ellen, your tool that you developed, resiliency, because that piece on there that talks about who you can go to and at any time of the day or night and be supported and listened to unconditionally is really an important thing. And maybe you could talk a little bit about that.
Absolutely. We've talked about people you can go to, thinking about where each of us is right now. I think about my friend Hassan Batts, Coach Batts in Lehigh Valley. You're starting 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Pick a number, doesn't matter. Who can you call in the middle of the night and they will answer the phone 100% of the time? And they will listen and they will come out to you if that's what you need. And I think that's so important. And that leads back to part of the tool, which is who is an important influence in your life? And that could be a past influence or a present influence. For instance, I spoke about my grandmother. Well, she's no longer alive. So I can think about what she would say, and that's really important, but also what calling those people. The other thing I really encourage is we talk about strengths that can be kind of poo-pooed, but you know, talk to a very trusted person and say, you know, what is positive about me? Really push into those strengths. And so I recently heard a situation where somebody was offered a job and it wasn't the right job for them. And so everybody said, this is the best job ever. But no, it wasn't for them. And so they said no. And I think skipping things that aren't healthy for you. Yeah, it may be a great job. It may be a great anything. But if it's not right, great for you, let that go. So I think that's really important. I know, Nancy, you wanted to mention something.
Well, I now deal with PTSD. And I manage it better. It's been 21 years since my daughter's death. But with that, I always think about that. Certain times of the year, I reach out to certain individuals because I know that it's heightened. But I do agree with you. I have brought people into my life that I can trust and I can call, I can talk to, and there's others that don't want to talk to me about what I want to say. And I realize that. So best example is when my daughter was murdered and I went back to work and people would look at me and approach me and they didn't know what to say. What do you say to someone where their child was murdered? So I've learned that. I've learned about people more. I've learned about who I have brought into my life. Those in the past made a great influence on me, my mentors, through my job and also with just my growth overall. So I'm very, very thankful. But your resilience plan that I have done myself has made a big difference to help me look at me where I am today. You know, where I was 20 years ago or where I was 40 years ago when I was married. It you know, I've grown, of course, because that's a natural part of my growth. But I would say that your resilience plan, it makes me look at myself inside and out.
And I'll mention that the resilience plan is not therapy or anything like that. But one of the things we look at that you mentioned earlier is goals. And so we talk about looking at your strengths, looking at the people that are supportive of you. And I think it's important to say certain people can be supportive in one area of our life and certain people not. When we talk about, say, for the job or personal life or, if that's appropriate, parenting life. But we talk about goals. And so if I can ask, Nancy, you and I talked about like some little tiny goals to move towards your bigger goals, but not saying I want to get, let's look back a number of years for you, I want to get my master's. That doesn't happen between now and tomorrow. You decided, and again, we did this plan since then, but you decided that you would take one course a year and you had an ideal of getting a master's in the area that you wanted. So how did you break down, say, pick one area that you're like, I want to get to this, and this is the one thing I'm going to do for right now?
I wrote a lot of things down. I love to write in general, yes. But I would always, you know, I'd had my goals and I would always cross them off. And that made a difference to me, visually seeing them on paper. But the other thing is, I made a commitment to myself years ago that I would write in a journal. And I did that. The first day my daughter was born, I've written in a journal to this day. My daughter would be 49 years old. And so 49 years, that journal has, every day I've written something. And I think that that has helped me. And that is my safe place.
I think that's wonderful. Journaling is a wonderful thing for some people. I'm an intermittent journaler, and I tell myself it's time to journal. And most of the time I'm like, I don't want to journal. Well, tough. Sit down, get a cup of coffee, and then you can journal. But I just write everything, and I think that I'm going to write for 50 pages. And I write, for me anyways, 4 to 5 pages, and then I'm done. There's nothing more to write. And I will say that for some people, journaling is the wrong thing to do. Each of us has to figure that out. If the listener says, I don't know, try journaling. Try it for a little bit of time, however often you want, and then go from there.
Mm-hmm. So. I always say this, and I didn't realize this till later, that you know I believe in God has a lot of guidance for you in so many ways. I thought about, why did I write this journal? Why? And so now I know it's a recording of my relationship with my daughter, our unconditional love that I could read, and I could just remember the wonderful times with her. So I truly believe it. It's important to me.
Excellent. I think that's great.
I do want to talk about the word victor, though, because that's part of this discussion.
Yes.
You know, I just want to say to individuals out there that are victims like myself and survivors is that, you know, considering yourself as a victor it's like the end. Victor to me is like saying, okay, you've done something and that's it. I don't like that to be an end for me because I want it to be ongoing. I made a commitment, which is very difficult for me, to move on with my life after Randy was murdered. And then I decided to create a nonprofit. And so it's been since 2011, and I have wonderful individuals like Sherry Peters that's on my board and others that support me. So they are my mentors. They're the ones that are driving the goals and the objectives of Randy's House of Angels. And so that to me is so important. But more importantly is that I have so much to do. And I think my strength comes from my daughter, even though she's not here.
Mm-hmm.
And so I want individuals out there to know that just find that inner strength and hold on to it. Don't let individuals tell you where to go to find it. Just know that it comes within.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that's beautiful. Yeah, and I know that you're a mentor to many people, including myself. And I think that's so important. We can be mentors to each other.
Yeah, absolutely. We can be mentors to each other. And I love the way you describe how you sort of shy away from that word victor, because building your resilience is ongoing. It's not a place that you arrive suddenly and all of a sudden you're absolutely fine. It's an ongoing process. And I want to point out that there's all kinds of ways that each of us has. For Nancy, it's journaling, and that's a really important piece. For me, it's not necessarily journaling, although, as Ellen said, I'm sort of an intermittent journaler throughout my life, but not so much. I occasionally run across something that I wrote decades ago and think, oh, wow, I didn't realize that I was in that space at that time. So I do recognize the value of it. I just don't do it. So I wanted to think about the other kinds of resources that we might have, like even something as simple as breathing and diaphragmatic breathing, or just breathing into our belly breathing, is something that can be really helpful in those stressful times, or even in just an everyday kind of thing to help us get through each day. And I know that Ellen has developed all kinds of lists of resources that are available to help folks. And we will be putting those things on the Randy's House of Angels website so that people can actually pay attention to finding some resources that can help them, because it's not a one-size-fits-all. When we build our resilience, it's what works for us.
Sherry, I would add, I look at exercise as being very positive for me in whatever form. Maybe if it's walking, like this morning, I'll walk 3 miles. The other thing I think is really important is eating well, and you know, having a healthy body, healthy mind. But one thing that I strive every day of my life is to surround myself with positive people, positive things, and it's very tough. It's very tough at times, and I think that that has been a very strong part of me moving forward.
That's excellent. I was just about to say, we're about to wrap up, and what do we need to say as comments before we go? I think the couple of things is resilience. There's many definitions, but I'm going to use the definition of bouncing back. Thinking of a rubber band, if we stretch a rubber band, it bounces back every now and then. It does break. But the other thing that I think is so important, and I did not think I had any resilience at all, everyone has resilience. Everyone has resilience, and everyone can develop resilience. And so I'll just say I about flunked out of medical school, but I figured out a way to not flunk out of medical school, and it was a hard situation. And so any other comments from others about what you want folks to hear or things you want to highlight?
I think for me, it's just to really pay attention to what is important to each of you, because none of us can tell you what it is that's going to work for you. So, yeah, it's just pay attention to yourself.
And I would say believe in yourself. Know that whatever you do, if you have children, your actions are impacting your children. So just be aware that you play a very important role in so many individuals' lives.
Well, thank you both.
Thank you.
And we're so happy to have this opportunity.
Randy's House of Angels is sponsoring Season 2 of a series of podcasts that will serve as a resource to anyone impacted by domestic violence, including parents, guardians, caseworkers, health providers, advocates, teachers, trauma specialists, clinicians, and more, to provide an overview of domestic violence and how to handle situations where domestic violence is present. Season 2 will include a series of 7 podcasts that will include an overview and understanding the link between domestic violence and homelessness, the relationship between domestic violence and pet abuse, how to navigate domestic violence in an LGBTQ+ relationship, understanding teen violence, the challenges of survivors and resilience revolution from victim to victor, and exploring how cultural traditions impact domestic violence. The podcast will include testimony and stories from experts who work in the field of domestic violence, criminal justice, and social work academia, and a survivor who was a victim of the domestic violence. This podcast will be broadcasted starting in July 24 and running through September of 2024. Go to Randy's House of Angels website at randyshouseofangels.org if you missed the podcast, if you'd like any of the resources that support the podcast, and to take a brief survey. Your feedback is essential to shaping and informing future episodes of our show.